The fire service doesn't deal with emotions. And a lot of the firefighters, they're like, I help people. I don't need help.
Hey there, thanks for joining us. I'm Jen Pennington, and I work closely with the Seattle Firefighters Healthcare Trust. September is Suicide Awareness Prevention Month, so today is episode 2, part 2 in our series on mental health called Destigmatizing How We Talk About Suicide in the Fire Service. You'll hear from clinical psychologist Dr. Beth Murphy. A former firefighter herself, she's been a big part of the evolution of mental health change in the fire service over the years. You'll also hear from Dr. Marcy Hamrick, a physician who has plenty of experience caring for firefighters at the Station 2 Clinic in Belltown. So listen up, L27. And if you or someone you know is struggling, we've got resources available. Look for them on the website and this episode's page. Let's get to it.
The fire service did not, in the beginning, do a very good job in dealing with people's mental health. I mean, honestly, it's like they didn't do a good job with the health and wellness of their firefighters in general. I would often say that they took care of their apparatus better than they did their people. And that has changed. And the first change that came along that was accepted was around physical health. There was a mental health piece that was presented at the same time, but it's like they weren't ready for it yet.
I think a lot of firefighters who come for their medical evaluation are well aware of firefighters' risk for heart disease and premature heart attacks and strokes and cancer. And those are at the top of their list of concerns. And I share with them that actually death by suicide is the second leading cause of death among firefighters in our country, second only to cardiac events. So it's there's actually more firefighters dying per year in the last 5 years of suicide than of cancer diagnoses.
I've always been psychologically minded, and when I got into the fire service, I got involved with peer support, and so it just became more. I mean, it's like, this is something we need to deal with. And I was seeing people I was working with struggling, and I was seeing a large percentage of the people that we saw when we went on calls struggling with mental health issues that often ended up with us having to go on a call in the middle of the night. So I'm like, oh, well, if we start dealing with mental health stuff in general, then we're just going to be better off. So about 2010, there was a white paper presented at a fire department conference talking about firefighters and mental health. It was really around suicide and PTSD. And so that was the focus for that white paper. And the recognition that this is a problem and we need to address it. And they had a plan for addressing it, but they talked about like how they were going to get it out there. And it just struck me how much they wanted to tiptoe around it. Like they were going to offend the firefighters if they put it out there. And they basically were saying the things that the firefighters already knew, whether they were talking about it or not. So I decided, well, I'm gonna put in to present. So I decided that I wanted to present at a conference because I was like, let's just talk about it directly. I don't know what the big deal is. But that's like from my perspective, being always psychologically minded. I didn't think it was a big deal. I've come to realize now that it is kind of a big deal, and it's a big part of the stigma. The fire service doesn't deal with emotions, and a lot of the firefighters, they're like, I help people, I don't need help. And that thought of, I shouldn't be bothered by this, you know, whatever the this is. So I just wanted to talk directly about it. I didn't want to I didn't want to tiptoe around it because I think that that contributes to the stigma. It's like, let's talk about it. We're talking about physical health and all the things that go along with that, whatever it is, and some really private things about physical health. But somehow mental health was still, no, we don't talk about that. So I started presenting, and I got accepted to present. I was the first person to present on mental health at the Fire Department Instructors Conference, which is a huge annual conference. It happens yearly. And I was way out in the annex, and I thought, it's going to be my husband and my friend. That's the only people that are going to attend. And I had like 10 people. And I thought, okay, well, that's cool. That's more than I thought. And then the next year, I had 20 people. And the next year, I had a full room of like about 60. And I made everybody cry. So, and then when the organizers got word of that, they were like, you can't be upsetting our firefighters that way. But they said it was great. It was the best because they were struggling and they were in this room. They were listening and everything they felt and thought was validated. And that's what made them, I mean, that's what made them cry. I mean, these guys were like struggling with PTSD, thinking that they were deficient, defective. And then all of a sudden there's, you know, 59 other people saying, yeah, we feel the same way. And so to me, that said, we need to talk about this. We need to make it normal because it just is. We can't change how we respond to stress. And the more we shove that down, the worse it is. The stronger everything feels, the longer it hangs on. And then we never really get to learn from that experience. And we are an accumulation of our experiences. I've talked about resilience, and I believe that firefighters are a very resilient group of people. And I know of some research that has also been done and supported that. And to me, resilience is being flexible, learning, and adapting. And that is what happens when you experience something stressful, whether it's the traumatic stress or something else, an interpersonal stress or any stress. But when you experience it and you can be flexible with that and you can learn from it, you have a greater likelihood of adapting, and that is making meaning. And you don't do any of that if you just stuff it down and if you don't talk about it. And that's one of the things that I really liked about that processing of stress, that rethinking stress, that program. It gives you a tool in order to do those things, to acknowledge that something happened and that it affected you. And it gives you an opportunity to make meaning out of it. And that's what is really important. And it helps to decrease the stigma. And you decrease the stigma, and then you have more providers, like me and Marcy, then you start to decrease the barriers to getting help. And that really is overall what is going to help our firefighters. If you're having some issues right now, and it doesn't have to be too severe, it could be minor, or it could be crisis, you can call Safe Call Now or Code 4 Northwest, and both of those are first responder specific crisis lines, and they will be able to help you. And if you're calling on behalf of someone, like you're worried about someone, you can also call them and they will help direct you. If there's an issue with getting through either one of those, then you can call the national hotline, which now has a 3-digit number, 988.
Thanks for listening. Listen Up L27 is brought to you by Seattle Firefighters Healthcare Trust and Local 27. Thanks to our recording engineer, Ted Grudowski. I'm your host, Jen Pennington, and until next time, stay safe and stay healthy.